watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. For today, we shall explore Wahid Invest, a company that is very much in the conversation these days in terms of diversifying your income, increasing your portfolio in terms of investment, and of course, taking robo-advisory into the Sharia aspect. That is those are among the conversations that we're going to have for this particular interview. Joining me is the head of Asia Pacific Business, Muhammad Shakir Hashim, of Wahid Invest. Shakir, thanks again for taking the time to speak with us. You are, after all, one of the first few guests that that has graced our studios since we reopened the show. So again, thanks for taking time to speak with
us and
coming
much.
Here. Let's go with Wahid Invest per se. This is the first time Wahid has come to Astro Awani. We want to do a little get-to-know kind of conversation. What is Wahid Invest?
Thanks, Ibrahim, for having me here. It all started in 2017 when our founder and group CEO, Junaid Wahidna, was working in New York. So one fine morning, he was actually going to work. So he hopped on this iconic yellow cab to go to the office. Just as he got in, the taxi driver looked in the rearview mirror and said, "Assalamualaikum." And of course, Junaid answered that. And he asked Junaid, "What is it that you're doing here?" And he said, "I was working in investments." So the taxi driver went on and on talking about investments, asking questions. But what stood out for Junaid, and also to me when I heard this story for the first time when I joined, was that the taxi driver put his entire life savings into just Apple stocks. And that was because he heard of this advice from a local imam in a local mosque.
Well, that's not a bad decision. That's not a bad decision.
If you consider the concentration risk that there is some risk by doing that. you probably worked out in some way, but you know, long term, it's always good to diversify investments. So right after that taxi ride, Junaid started thinking and our founder started thinking about how the mass Muslims, the everyday Muslims around the world, are not really getting access to proper financial and investment knowledge. And you know, you have people like the John Bogles, the Vanguards, the Black Rocks. These guys have been strong proponents of this kind of low-cost index tracking investment for years, but it somehow didn't seep down to our Muslim communities around the world. And that led to the start of Wahid. So we launched in New York in 2017, where we are regulated by the Securities Exchange Commission to launch our robo-advisor. Arguably, it could be the first Islamic robo-advisor in the world at that point of time. So essentially, in Malaysia, Wahid Invest is the first Islamic digital investment management platform. What it means to everyday Malaysians would be, it's just a mobile application that you can download off Google Play or the Apple App Store. You sign up with your email address. You answer some questions so that we get to know you better. You answer 8 questions for us to understand your risk profile, your attitude towards investing. And with your answers, our algorithms will be put to work and we'll recommend you one of our 7 portfolios. So our portfolios are all Sharia compliant. They're all diversified in terms of asset classes. And you can choose one of 7 that we recommend. And you can fund your account online. The whole process of investing with Wahid is fully digital. And you can put in a deposit and a withdrawal through the app at any point of time. So it's highly liquid.
All right. Let's talk about regulatory requirements here.
Yeah.
Are you regulated by the authorities in Malaysia?
Yes, certainly, Ibrahim. Wherever we go in terms of expansion, our first thing that we do is to understand the regulatory landscape and we get the proper licenses. So to date, Wahid is licensed in over 9 jurisdictions around the world, namely the US with the SEC, the FCA in the UK, and Malaysia is our Asia Pacific hub actually. So it's the first Asian country where we actually get a proper full-blown license to operate and localize our offerings. So yeah, we are regulated by the Securities Commission Malaysia as the country's first Islamic digital investment management platform.
Okay, we know that Malaysians per se, and let's talk about the demography of Malaysians right now. They normally have a unit trust. Normally, it's with ASB or any other funds within PNB. Normally, they have fixed deposit that gives a locked-up returns of maybe 3% or thereof. Normally, they invest in property. These are the normal kind of portfolios we talk about. You know, those are the normal situation. But the conversations now are a little bit different. People are eating up on their investments, including taking up account 2 in EPF, largely because of COVID requirements and necessities and needs. Those are happening right now. And while people are still thinking about trying to make ends meet because of the because of the pandemic, they are always constantly talking, at least, about future investments. And where do you see the potential of the Malaysian consumers, mm-hmm. not just embracing robo-advisory per se, but thinking about investing in Sharia-compliant investments like Wahid?
Yeah, that's interesting, Ibrahim. What I've seen during the MCO, of course, as business executives, we are worried about the COVID crisis happening. But alhamdulillah, it was actually an excellent period of time for us in terms of growth. We think because people are at home, they have more time to think through things like, you know, learning about proper investment techniques and methodologies. And I think Wahid ranks very highly when people actually go down and do that research. So the COVID period actually helped us. With regards to, you mentioned the competition, right? They are always going to be there. We are cognizant of the fact that they are there. And our portfolios are created knowing that they are there. So as I mentioned to you earlier, was that a big group of our investors actually prefer the more aggressive portfolios because they themselves know that, you know, yes, whatever it is, there is those government-backed unit trust companies that will always provide the kind of safety that they want. But a small portion of their portfolio, they want to put in something a bit more aggressive, but also Sharia compliant. So I think Wahid fits in very nicely, given how high fees are with, you know, the more private unit trust companies. So I think there is a very nice room for us to play. And if I may highlight also something interesting, more than half of our clients are actually outside of KL and Selangor. And that was really, really amazing for me personally as a matter of personal growth because we are serving people who are underserved. You know, we have people as far away as Cukai Terengganu signing up the whole village. I saw a spike in that specific locality and I was so impressed. And when I reached out to them and spoke to them and they said that no unit trust agent has ever reached out to us.
No way.
Yes. So when they
not
saw...
Not even the big boys of PNB.
They're just so far away. And people think that people outside of KL Selangor doesn't have money. But to me, I would love to serve them because they are severely underserved and we have the right proposition for them. Sharia compliant, easy to use, no jargons, low minimums and high liquidity. You can deposit and withdraw anytime. Mm. So I think this is a perfect product for Malaysians of all walks of life, not just in the capital or in the urban areas.
Let's talk about investors who are a little bit more agnostic in terms of Sharia compliance.
Okay.
Are you targeting them as well?
Well, when we entered, we had a number 3 robo-advisor. We know the first to get licensed is very strong in Singapore. They have a very strong conventional offering. The number 2 is also very well known in Japan. So we are cognizant of that. And I think when the SE gives out the licenses, they know that they do not want these companies who are still young to cannibalize each other. So we have our own rooms. And I think Stashaway and MyTO have their own markets and they're playing in more urban, century, English-speaking markets. For Wahid, we're probably one of the few fintech companies in the whole of Malaysia that has our entire app in Bahasa Malaysia. And we put in a lot of effort. There were some words that were so tough to translate. Mm. We have to go to the DBP, we have to consult people to how to translate certain words. And we pride ourselves in localization so that we can serve Malaysians not only in the urban areas but all over. Yeah.
Right. Okay, we'll take a short break before we continue our conversation with Wahid Invest. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. I am with Wahid Invest for this particular episode. Shakir Hashim, of course, joins us. He's the head of APAC there. Shakir, let's talk a little bit about some of the robo-advisory work that you do. People still want to know the kind of funds that you guys are investing in. How would an investor understand a little bit more about the 7, for instance, diversified portfolios that you guys have right now?
Yes, thanks, Ibrahim. So we have 7 portfolios. Initially, we launched with 6. I'll come back to you about the 7th portfolio. So these 6 portfolios are basically diversified into different asset classes. This would be Sharia compliant US stocks, Sharia compliant Malaysian stocks, gold, and also Sukuk, which is Islamic bonds, you could say. So between the very conservative, the number 1 portfolio, up to the number 6 portfolio, which is very aggressive, they all have similar constituents, right? US stocks, Malaysian stocks, and so on. What differentiates them is the allocation into certain asset classes. So you can imagine the more aggressive portfolios has a higher concentration into stocks, predominantly US stocks. So if you take the very aggressive portfolio, you will have around 75% of your asset placed into stocks. Whereas if you take the conservative portfolio, 75% into Sukuks. So that's how we differentiate our six portfolios. Now, after we launched a few months, people are saying that they want an easy and Sharia compliant way to invest into gold without having to walk into the jewelry shop and bring things out and store it in the house. So we're like, look, Malaysia is such an advanced Islamic capital market ecosystem. We have a Sharia compliant gold ETF. Why not just simplify the process of helping Malaysians invest in gold without having to hold it physically and yet regulated? So we created a seventh portfolio. So what exactly do we invest in? What kind of ETFs or exchange-traded funds for that matter? For US stocks, we invest our clients' funds into the Halal ETF, HLAL. You can look up the ticker. It's actually our own ETF. So it's the first ever Sharia-compliant ETF listed on the NASDAQ, and it's done by us. We launched it back in September 2019, and we rang the opening bell on the NASDAQ to announce the opening launching of our Halal ETF. So what the Halal ETF helps investors do is that it places your money into the top 222 Sharia-compliant US stocks based on market cap with just one ETF. With an annual management fee of about 0.5%, you get access to all those companies very easily.
This include the Silicon Valley companies, some oil and gas companies as well.
Some of them.
Yeah. These are fantastic because, you know, as an investor, I would like to put my money in, you know, Facebook, Apple, whatever, right?
Exactly. And then for the Malaysia stocks, we use a local ETF. We use the My ETF MMID, which tracks the index of higher paying dividends companies in Malaysia. And then for gold, we use a local ETF called the Gold ETF by Afin Huang. So, and for Sukuk, we use the RHB Islamic Bond Fund. So Wahid comes into Malaysia not just to take Malaysians' money and take it out of the country. That's not what we are meant to do. We're here to promote Sharia-compliant way of investing, proper investment methodologies, and also to support the local Islamic capital markets. And that is what Wahid stands to do. And I think the regulators, the market who understands this, really appreciate what we're trying to do. Because, you know, for the most part, other robo-advisors, they take your money, they put it outside. Malaysia doesn't get to enjoy this new innovation in terms from a capital markets perspective.
All right, let's talk about the investing environment right now. Yeah. A lot of people don't understand that sometimes when the market is actually low, it's a good time to come in. Those are the kind of conversations that I tend to have with people from, say, PNB, people from Stashaway, all these guys, including you now, right now. Just before we started this interview, I just checked on my app, and you know, it's a very modest gain. Yeah. It's still a gain, and I understand the risks involved, and I know that there are, as you said just now, I have classified my investments as safe, super safe, and riskier ones, right? And I understand that kind of risk portfolio, risk profile that I have with my investments. My question right now is, how do you approach people like me who are a little bit more sophisticated in terms of comprehension of the investment market, and we tend to gravitate towards safety more these days rather than the riskier ones, largely because nothing against you guys, but because the investment landscape is a little bit more different in 2020 compared to other years.
Yeah, that's interesting, and I think that has been an ongoing challenge for us, and also I think for the other DIMs.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
we're not alone in this one.
Yeah, we, you know, the robo advisors in the US and UK benefited from the hard work put in by people like John Bogle, like Warren Buffett, repeating and repeating in their faces how good index tracking investments actually are. But in the Muslim communities globally, and also maybe in this part of the world, in Asia, we do not have the luxury of such icons to propagate such messages. So the onus falls on us. The fund management companies will not be the number one proponents of this because, you know, of their current business models. And so what we do is, whenever you are on board on our app, we have a series of emails introducing you to this. In fact, earlier this year, we partnered with Majalah Labor to actually create a series of videos updating people about how index tracking investments actually help grow their investments in Bahasa Malaysia, because we want to democratize this knowledge. But Ibrahim, it's going to take an extremely long time. But I think people are very smart, especially the younger generation. On average, our customers are 28 years old. So these people, they know how to Google. They know how to find out about stuff. And I think it won't be long until the market realizes that, hey, index tracking investments, low-cost ETFs, diversified portfolios, this is a way to go. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a matter of time. We just got to be there, grow, and join the bandwagon.
There is a criticism in terms of index tracks funds, where more money is given to the bigger guys, leaving the smaller guys that might be more interesting and might have stronger growth might not be invested in because they tend to slip from that particular net. What would be some of your conversations when you hear these kind of criticisms leveled against ETF funds?
I think as long as the ETFs is diversified across a large amount or a large number of companies, it is sort of fine. Like our Halal ETF is diversified across 222 companies. So this ranges from the large cap and also mid cap companies. I don't think we have that many small caps because, you know, we can't just fit everyone into that ETF that we want to do. So I think just making sure that you understand the constituents of the ETF and the index that the ETF is tracking, just make sure that the companies that they track are larger in number, not just maybe 10 or 50, maybe larger than that. And then you really reduce the concentration risk and also, you know, you start properly diversifying.
All right. We'll take one more break before we conclude our conversation with Wahid Invest. Don't go anywhere. Tonight we have with us Wahid Invest. Shakir, the head of APAC, is here with us. Shakir, let's talk a little bit about the psyche of the investor currently watching the show at home. And we take note of that very young demography customer that you have right now. But the thing about young'uns is that they might not have enough to make a living, let alone invest. There are a sizable community of us that is in their 40s, 50s, even 60s. What would be some of the conversations that you tend to have with the older demography, and is there time and place for them to actually invest in robo-advisors like yourselves?
Yeah, so that is also an interesting market because we are so digital, we're so much online. Our strategies has always been targeting, well, the younger generation. So I do have these conversations with my team. You know, how do we really reach out? We actually did a survey with the sort of slightly older generation, like 50s, as to what actually they're looking for in life. And what came up very strongly is actually people are actually preparing for the afterlife at that stage. So they're not looking for high returns in a short period of time, and they don't fall into the long-term, diversified, consistent investing story. So that requires a certain tweak in the product to serve them. We have some ideas that will roll out maybe early next year. But for the slightly younger demographic, like in the late 30s to 40s, it is just a matter of explaining to them how Wahid fits into their current investment portfolios and how certain values that it provides is better. For example, I had a conversation with a client early on in his 40s. He said, Shakir, I have like $100,000. I put it around, you know, in my friend's business, in real estate, in property. How does Wahid fit into this? So I told them, like, look, and this advice probably is more pertinent today, is that liquidity is so important, right? You can invest in your friend's business. It may be a good business. You can buy a property, a land. It may be good assets. But when it comes to these volatile periods, you might want to look at the liquidity of those assets. What if tomorrow you need to raise 20,000 ringgit by the end of the week for a medical procedure? Can you sell that piece of land within a week? Can you sell the house in a week? So people are starting to think. I don't even have to tell them. They're trying to see about their assets. And I think for the slightly more senior generation that goes in the 40s, we have to have these conversations with them a bit more face-to-face, engaging the right influencers. But we're still new. It's been 8 months. We're trying to figure out who are our better performing demographies. And I think by the end of the year, you'll see us do more on-ground activities, especially when the MCO restrictions are lifted. We go a lot more to the ground, you know, do events to share this.
For an internet company, that's not scalable, right? How do you scale at that phenomenal rate that you see with other Silicon Valley companies?
Exactly. In Silicon Valley, they have this saying that to scale, you have to do things that do not scale. Because when you start off, you need to understand how that group of people think, right? We can't really get the crux of how they are thinking just through online targeting and research. We have to really sit in front of them and understand. And certain things will start to come up, right? They think certain way. They want to hear these things. And when we do the on-ground activities for, say, 3 months, we'll be smart enough to take these worries and change them into messaging that we can do online, and we can retarget them on Facebook and so on and so forth. But that touch point is really important that I feel Wahid hasn't done. And our US counterparts, the Wahid US team, has done extremely well. They've gone to all 50 states or more in the US to actually go to the Islamic organizations, the mosques, to speak to people and understand their concerns before they actually put out the right messages out there. And I think I haven't had the luxury of time, given that, you know, I was hit by the COVID crisis, yeah, right into, yeah, 3 months after launching. And but I think everything happens for a reason, and we are partnering with certain organizations to go to the ground. And I think that will bear very good fruit for us. People just need to look at who is Wahid before they can trust us, and we will do that when we go to the ground soon.
Okay, when you do meet these individuals, some of the clients that you, or prospecting clients that you have, and in light with that whole notion of having a product that is highly liquid as well, some of your competitors are already doing money market products, giving about over 2%, I can't remember, 2.3, 2.4%, which is commendable in terms of the nature of the product itself. It behaves like a CASA, like a current account or savings account, that gives, you know, as good returns as an FD. And so the only pain here for a consumer is that I have to wait 2 days, sometimes 3 days, in terms of depositing it and exiting it. But it's still liquid compared to, say, an FD where it's locked up over a period of time, let's say 12 months. Is a money market product in the pipeline for you guys?
I think for now, we're not. I think when our competitors launch a money market product, they're actually going after the another market. It's the market of cash locked up in the banks. So they're tapping on that market. I think Wahid, right now, we're tapping on the investments market. Like I mentioned, you know, we're looking at the markets that unit trust funds are going after. And I feel like that is big enough for now to focus on, because when people put money in cash, the mentality is different when people put money into stocks. And we want to focus our messaging. And I think for the next 1 or 2 years, we will be focused on that, getting people to invest, trusting us as a platform to invest into stocks, into sukuk, into gold, rather than to focus on cash accounts. Because I think there are many Islamic banks here targeting that market. Of course, you know, there can be value add, but I don't see that value add being sufficient to get people to pull their cash out and put into Wahid at this point. Because you need to also deal with withdrawals, with ATMs and so on and so forth. And I think that is a totally different market. I'll focus right now on the investment space.
Okay, let's also talk about your literal job portfolio right now, which is head of APAC. What is the plans for Wahid to invest in the region, knowing that Malaysia is a hub for this particular region?
Yeah, so my job is relatively exciting, I would say, because
I don't know, you can't travel. Not at least for the next few months, at least, or years even.
Well, you can imagine how exciting this could be also on Zoom, you know, like dealing with people from different cultures and backgrounds. And that has been really cool for me, because the mandate that I was given to me by the board of Wahid is actually to launch our businesses in multiple countries in Southeast Asia, Malaysia being the APEC hub and the first country here. I think we've done really well, alhamdulillah. And the next market that we are going after, we were recently licensed in Indonesia by the Otoritas Jasa Keuangan, OJK.
OJK.
Yeah, OJK. And hopefully by end of the year, we'll launch in Indonesia. And that will be super exciting. Also, two other markets that,
That market is so big that, you know, there's no need to talk about competitors because you just need to focus on what you're good at. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be crazy doing that.
Exactly.
But it does bring about some different challenges into rolling out in Indonesia because, well, it's a diverse country. You can't just, you know, put everything in one basket. But yeah, sorry.
I'm no worries, that's a good point.
We try to, you know, back in my previous life, we tried to crack open, you know, Indonesia.
Yeah.
We approached it wrongly because we thought that Indonesia is a country. It's not. One city is very different from the other.
Exactly.
But the opportunities are abound. But yeah, sorry.
No worries. That is interesting because I face similar thoughts and discussions with my team. Like, how do we address a country as large as Indonesia? Because like you rightly pointed out, culturally it's very, very different. You have Sumatra, you have Java, you have, you know, the Moluccas. These are all very different places. They're all very different islands. They're separated geographically by water. And people speak differently. People behave differently. Religions are different, the makeup of it. How do we address this market? And I think the best way to do it is actually to be on the ground. I really, really believe that fintech companies, not just Wahid, can succeed if they ground themselves. You come to a country, you have to understand the cultural implications of doing so, from language, from understanding religion, from understanding the cultural dynamics within the country. And I think that is my main sort of like trust when I do a launch in a country, is to culturally localize the product so that it can be well accepted by the market. And And Indonesia will be so different. Like in Malaysia, I'm talking to you about investments, about growing wealth. Indonesia will probably have a different conversation. Mm. It'll be more towards savings towards certain goals, because you know the varied nature of the country. Mm. And yeah, those are some of the things that we are doing.
So what are the markets like? Do you cover Japan? Do you cover China? Do you cover all the way to India? Beyond that?
Oh man, that's really cool. I think for the next 1 or 2 years, what we'll do is probably consolidate our business in Malaysia, in Indonesia. We'll do something in Singapore. We'll do something in Brunei. Okay. So this will be our 2-year plan. For this year, it will just be Malaysia, Indonesia, hopefully.
What about raising funds? Is Wahid in the pipeline for securing a Series A, B, C?
So we just actually closed the Series A round last week, actually. So Saudi Aramco came in through their venture fund.
Congratulations.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, that was great.
It wasn't out yet? Or?
It was out. Okay. It was on Bloomberg, picked it up, and then the other media outlets brought it up. So Aramco came in, and that was such a great timing for us, because it just drives so much confidence in the team to work really hard and scale what we're doing. But at the same time, it also commands confidence in the market. Like, wow, Wahid, despite whatever is happening in the COVID situation, there are certain very well-informed shareholders who believe in it long-term vision.
But this ties up with Aramco's agenda as well, to diversify their investment strategies as well.
Yeah, and part of that deal also is that we chose Riyadh as our regional hub for the Middle East. But it's fine, you know, I think we are very much aligned between what Saudi government is trying to do and also what Wahid is all about.
All right, fantastic. Yeah. We have to conclude this conversation for now. Definitely we're going to get you in for more kind of conversations. Sure. That was my conversation with Wahid Invest. Do check out the app. You can easily get them from the Apple App Store, the Google Play Store, wherever you get the app. Also, don't forget to download the Astro Awani app while you're there. You can watch these kind of interviews there as well. That's it from me for this particular episode. Until next time, thanks and goodbye.